You're listening to the sound of traffic passing under the I-87 overpass at Lucas Turnpike, just south of Kingston, New York, in the little town of Spring Lake. I was out there observing the convoy that came down from Albany on Wednesday. Prior to that, Niagara Falls, drove all the way across the state and headed south at Albany, and then went down to Montgomery, and now is on its way to Washington, D.C. This is just a little tiny small convoy that's a tributary to the much bigger one, which took the southern route across the United States, and I have not been following it today, but everyone was supposed to be arriving in Washington, D.C. right about now. And I'll tell you, the one thing I figured out is that there is a lot of support for ending mandates, which is what this trucker convoy and then all the people who came out to support them at pretty much every overpass on the New York State Thruway was about. There you go. All right, this and other topics, we'll be back in a moment. From Chiron Return and for the Pacifica Radio Network, welcome to Planet Waves FM. My name is Eric Francis Coppolino, your host for the next hour or so. Tonight's program is for Friday, the 4th day of March, 2022. Welcome to our program, wherever you may be in the world, in the future, or in your state of mind. It is good to be with you, and we sure do have some things to talk about here beside the rising tide. Once again, thank you for joining me on a somewhat chilly spring-like day, recording on a gorgeous sunny Friday afternoon here in Kingston, New York, in the Mid-Hudson Valley of New York State. A little bit ahead this week. It has been one heck of a week, the week of the singularity, the week of multiple conjunctions, the quad conjunction involving Jupiter, the double conjunction involving Mercury and Saturn in Aquarius, the multiple conjunctions and forthcoming conjunctions in Pisces. First, an update from the devastating situation in Ukraine. As you know, Planet Waves has been very close to a family in Ukraine going back to 2005. When a man named Anatoly Ryzhenko was my web person and then became best friend and business partner and passed away in late 2020. And his daughter, Katerina, who I call Kate, was kind of came up from through the ranks from about age four, officially the youngest Planet Waves staff member to join the team. And things got so bad in Kiev, where she was going to film school and working and doing all of our videos, customer service, mailing list management, and a number of other things, had to flee to the suburbs, leaving almost everything behind. Basically, she took a backpack and her laptop and And then things got so bad in the suburbs of Kiev. From the map I saw, it looked like she was just outside of town in a not a urban area. It was a, you know, just houses like in an American suburb. And even that got too bad. And on Wednesday or Thursday, she began what to all of us here felt like an impossible trip from Kiev to Lviv, and then from Lviv into Poland. And she is just on the Polish border as of this recording. I spoke with the Polish consulate in New York and was assured that she, like all Ukrainian refugees, would be welcomed and also offered refugee status. So as far as I know, we heard from her about an hour before beginning this recording. She is doing fine physically. She's very stressed out. She's 18 years old. Her father is gone. Her mother has fled to Moldova. This situation in Kiev has created a great many refugees. It's impossible to tell how many. And as I sit here, I don't really have to go anywhere to do research. I've had some help on this issue. I'm getting every conceivable theory into what is going on, including every manner of pro-Russian, pro-Ukrainian theories, and various other bits of news. And what I know mostly is that the whole of Ukraine is being attacked. And this includes civilian areas. And this forecloses a lot of theories. I'm hearing theories from people how this is only a strategic thing, and they're only going to try to unseat the president. If they wanted to do that, they could have done that by now. There is no actual beef, you know, some territorial issue or something between Ukraine and Russia. And I am reluctant and even repulsed by theories as to why this is happening, because all of those theories sooner or later morph into a justification for dropping bombs on people. So where that is concerned, as far as I am concerned, as a Quaker, when I didn't become Quaker, I always was one, and then I discovered that what I was had a name. There is no justification for war. There is no justification for military action. None whatsoever. At any time, any place. You can say, well, that's awfully pure position. But I would say, who would Jesus bomb? Who would Jesus bomb? It is furthermore highly suspicious to the point of being an absurdity that on the very day the American convoy left, this invasion occurred, and on Wednesday the American convoy, I believe it was Wednesday or maybe Tuesday, left coincidentally with all of a sudden Prime Minister Trudeau backing down on all of his threats. He had invoked the War Powers Act. House of Commons had approved the War Powers Act. One morning they were threatening to take people's cryptocurrency accounts if they had donated a dollar of Bitcoin to the truckers' convoy. And by night they had thrown down their cards and walked away. And then all through the week, the news has been no more vaccine mandates, no more mask mandates. I believe indoor vaccine and mask mandates end on Monday or Tuesday in New York, and that's it. They're throwing it in. Now I want to know, where did the virus go? I don't mean the virus issue. I mean, where did the virus go? Let's see. Let's click on New York Times today is still claiming that there were 1,700 new deaths from COVID-19. This number has floated between 1,700 on the low end up to 2,500 all through 2021 after being down to nearly zero at the end of 2020. Today, they're claiming that there's somewhere approximately 2,000 people a day dying of this thing, but well, we don't really need those masks. And now even Saturday Night Live is making fun of new reporting in the mainstream press, state media, Bloomberg News, that this did no good. These masks did no good. It is the butt of jokes. We'll be getting into that in the second segment. This is a very precarious time in the history of the world. And it is disturbing to me that so many people are acting so cocksure, unable to explain themselves, only able to use, I would say, brittle rhetorical devices to attack people, marginalize people, claim people are conspiracy theorists and right-wingers. We are on the edge right now. Now, we have pulled back a little bit from the edge, and I believe that it was the trucker convoy. This has been going on now for well over a month, if you count both Canada and the United States, that tipped the balance, just tipped the balance away from the direction that it was going. It broke the momentum of this runaway train. I felt it. Many people felt it for the first time. I thought this momentum would just wind itself down in the spring of 2020 when there was really nothing going on. The U.S. Navy ship Comfort had already left. We got a good picture of its head coming into the harbor on right around March 30th or something, and its ass leaving the harbor on April 30th. Javits Center was closed, and all these predictions of millions and millions and millions of dead bodies did not come to pass as the data came out, one revelation after the next, that these folks who died had now CDC saying 5 on average additional causes of death. You don't die of a virus when you've got 5 other terminal illnesses. This is obscene. All of this being used to terrify us, to terrorize us. So what is outstanding about Ukraine is that someone's bombing the country. Someone sent me an email today. Oh, now we know the truth. It's the Ukrainians. Well, it occurred to me there were some things I heard from Katerina that didn't make sense, like who was placing landmines in the interior of the country. Now, I'm hearing this from someone who's not an eyewitness to this. She's only hearing what she heard from other people. But let's pretend that it's true. Well, who was doing that? And I asked her this in one of our conversations, which are on the Starcast page, planetwaves.net/Starcast. However, that does not prove that someone was or wasn't doing it. But now we know that that Ukrainian cities are being pounded by a military that needs to be bigger than the Ukrainian military to attack that many cities. Ukrainians have a profound sense of national identity. They have their own language. They have their own culture. They have their own songs. Ukrainian soldiers are not going to attack Ukrainian cities. That's my opinion. From having been there and been close to the culture, in fact, since fourth grade, my best friend Eric Olenek was Ukrainian. His parents were Ukrainian immigrants. I knew there was such a thing as Ukraine in 1994. Everybody else thought it was just the USSR. What we don't know in the United States is that we have been under siege for 2 years. We think that these government officials have been helping us protect us from something. Well, what better way to take advantage of someone? In fact, every time fraud is in some way committed against someone else, it is almost always under the guise of helping them. It is the first thing. It's how you get in the door. And fraud is a self-concealing crime. It should have a lot longer statute of limitations than it does as a civil tort. Because it's self-concealing. And gags like on Saturday Night Live making fun of masking and social distancing, oh well, didn't do anything anyway, is an attempt to move on without actually resolving the grief and investigating who committed the crimes. And now basically COVID is gone. Gone. It wasn't 1 year ago that I was standing outside Madison Square Garden. In fact, it was 8 months ago that I was standing out there listening to all these self-righteous people explain why they should be allowed into Madison Square Garden because they had the vaccine. Nobody else should be allowed in because they didn't have the vaccine. What kind of vaccine is that? If you're going to work in a zone with an infectious disease, you get inoculated, so-called, against that disease because it's present in the environment. Therefore, you've been immunized, so they say, and you don't get it. Well, now how is it possible that, 23,000 people are going to pack Madison Square Garden and the one person without the vaccine is going to threaten all 23,000 vaccinated people? That's fucking ridiculous. And what is so frightening is how many people just swallowed it. So this is a kind of war without firing a shot, unless that shot is an injection of some kind. And I will say again, we have not reckoned with the fact that the CDC is saying, it is telling us that it knows of 23,000 probable deaths from the vaccine, so-called vaccine. And that the correction numbers range from 40, you have to multiply that 23,000 by 40, which puts you right at a million or so, or by 100, which puts you at about 2.2 million or so, I guess 2.3 million. This is this is the new thing not allowed to be discussed at the dinner table. I think we're upset about Ukraine because it could be us. It has been us with a different kind of bombing that most people didn't know was happening. I was planning to read this in the second segment, but I'm going to read this right now. It's an article that was submitted to Columbia County No Mandates List by a fellow named Michael Bryant, who has done some work for COVID-19 News. He has a small contribution to the chronology. Did a little piece of that. It came in email last night, and I've arranged to publish it. It'll take me a couple of days to get this. 2 weeks to flatten the world. By Michael Bryant. He begins with an epigraph of a discussion between Winston Smith and this guy O'Brien in the book 1984, which I'm reading, by the way. It is an absolutely harrowing book. It is so psychologically disturbing and so evocative of the feelings that we have been living through and this now suddenly snapping its jaws, surveillance state and biosecurity state and all that. Thank God the vaccine passport is being dropped in New York. This abomination. This thing that's for nothing more than to spy on people, to control your movement and make your body a thing on the Internet of Things. So the discussion between O'Brien and Winston Smith is about how you take control of a person. And O'Brien says, well, Winston thought by making him suffer. And he says it. And then O'Brien says, exactly, by making him suffer. Obedience is not enough. Unless he is suffering, how can you be sure he's obeying your will and not his own? Power is in inflicting pain and humiliation. Power is in tearing human minds to pieces, putting them together again in new shapes of your own choosing. Do you begin to see then what kind of world we are creating? Eric Arthur Blair, 1984. We become slaves the moment we hand the keys to the definition of reality entirely over to someone else. Whether it is a business, an economic theory, a political party, the White House, News World, or CNN, credited to B.W. Poe. And Michael begins, COVID-19 has magically disappeared. After more than 2 years of nonstop bombardment with COVID, quote, news, unquote, there has been none at all in the mainstream headlines for over a week. The media giveth and the media taketh away. By the way, Michael Bryant does not consider himself a writer, but I consider him a writer. Though the immaculate erasure of the COVID crisis, in quotes, those responsible for these harms are attempting to make us forget what they did to us, our families, and the permanent damage they caused to society. By the way, erasing the past is an essential part of totalitarianism. There's no reference to compare anything to. History is erased. I will continue in Michael's words. Think back to what life was like 2 years ago and imagine if someone told you that a, quote, health emergency, unquote, would require a crackdown on all social and economic life. Remarkably, the public health orders moved quickly from flattening the curve and slowing the spread to containment, suppression, social isolation, face coverings, de facto house arrest, also known as lockdowns, a prison slave camp term, and mandated experimental injections. In order to, quote, keep us safe, unquote, government policies mushroomed from innocuous instructions into draconian decrees, and draconian is not a strong enough word. The limitation of the right to engage in legitimate economic transactions, the limitation of the right to freedom of movement, limitations on the right to practice religion, the suspension of the right to education, the denial of the right to a livelihood, the removal of the right to receive or refuse medical attention, suspension of juries, suspension of the right to freedom of expression, denial of the right to assembly, and much else became the new operating principles of the COVID world. The institution of a biosecurity police state was birthed, allowing for health authorities and others to quarantine someone considered, quote, infected, unquote, or to have been in contact with a purported case, in quotes. To make this appear necessary and acceptable, an intensive, full-spectrum psychological assault on our sensibilities was implemented. COVID-19 was hyped as the new Black Death. We were told by important-looking people that millions would die, Neil Ferguson. The entire planet was in danger. A global response is required, and everyone must get in line with the program, whilst heroes and experts take charge of this new global war to keep us safe. The illogical catchphrases designed to hypnotize the public into a malleable mental state were repeated over and over in every media outlet, across virtually every social institution, and plastered throughout all walks of the public sphere. Flatten the curve, the new normal, social distancing, and follow the science became the nation's COVID shibboleths. Media bullhorns relentlessly blasted the doublespeak into the public psyche. Oxymorons and euphemisms dominated the contours of any and all COVID-related discourse. Such linguistic manipulations were readily absorbed and seamlessly adopted by much of the public and became the doublethink phraseology of the COVID era. mantras of the COVID era were followed by a fleet of psychologically disorienting and arbitrary regulations, advice, and guidelines, which were quickly put into place and selectively enforced. No one was spared. Children came under sustained psychological attacks, branded as super spreaders, and were told to keep away from their grandparents lest they kill Granny. Operating in a fog of psychological trauma, everyone moved through a world devoid of smiles and laughter, where faces were hidden by masks and smothered in cloth. This barrage of brutalizing manipulations were designed to condition us to accept the tyrannical impositions of the new normal. The emotional toll, because of COVID fear-mongering and media hysteria, caused the citizenry, that's us, to become mentally tamed like institutionalized prisoners who would come begging for any way out. The preordained and only allowed exit from this alleged viral nightmare demanded that society embrace the magical cure of the miracle inoculation, a medical miracle promised to be so effective that it will be required year after year after year. And excuse me, I know people who are going for their fourth shot and wondering, this is me, not Michael, wondering why exactly they are, or perhaps not wondering, protected for less time after each injection. Less, not more. When not embraced, it would be enforced. One of the striking things about the media blitzkrieg surrounding the COVID, quote, pandemic, or to be more precise, the reporting of the pandemic, is, in quotes, how, considered purely in terms for its effect, it resembled the war in terror, or indeed any war. Pausing. Our friend, my friend, Andrew McLuhan, called COVID out as a war in mid-March of 2020. He could tell because the behavior of public officials and corporations resembled a war. He could tell by the way people were acting that it was a war. And then they came out and said, we're going to declare war on this. We're going to eradicate this thing. And then trillions of dollars changed hands. Continuing with Michael's writing, wearing a mask became a patriotic duty. Security theater became a feature of everyday life. The vast carnage of COVID policies were sloughed off as collateral damage. Lost in the sound and fury of this media bombardment was evidence, observation, and measurement, three of the key pillars of science. Not scientism, not political science. This is me speaking. Science. They are evidence, observation, and measurement. The pillars of science. These were replaced by make-believe forecasts, computer-generated estimates of whether or not not to be questioned scientific metrics, in quotes, that hospitals would be overrun, mortuaries would spill into the streets, and crematoriums would run out of fuel disposing of all the bodies. This is what we were told, by the way. I'm going to keep interjecting here. Neil Ferguson, graduate of the Young Global Leaders Program, one day in March of 2020, predicted that up to 3% of, up to a third of Americans would catch COVID, and up to 3% or even 7% would die. Nobody said how long it would take. The presumption was these would all be perfectly healthy people. He says this one day, based on one of his FACACTA computer models, Angela Merkel, another graduate of the Young Global Leaders, repeats it, and I knew that's it. That was going to become the official line. Never happened. In order to get the illusion of all these dead people, they had to count people with four or five other diseases whose only evidence of COVID was testing quote unquote positive for a test that does not test for infection or for a virus and therefore does not exist. I'm going to go back one paragraph in Michael's commentary. These were replaced by make-believe forecasts, computer-generated estimates, or other not-to-be-questioned scientific metrics that hospitals would be overrun, mortuaries would spill into the street, and crematoria would run out of fuel disposing of all the bodies. Even as direct observation and real scientific data showed none of this to be true, the public health apparatus and the media juggernaut ensured that the public would not be exposed to such heresy. A digital curtain of mass McCarthyite-like censorship descended upon this brave new world of fact-free hysteria. No amount of evidence could slow the propaganda machine, which remained in high gear, spitting out a nonstop stream of sanctimonious slogans and fabricated death tallies. The intended effect was widespread panic, resulting in collective psychosis that negated all thought. We don't have time. We must act now. Listen to the experts. Follow the science. We don't have the luxury of critical thinking. And most importantly, all who question the official narrative must be condemned. Put simply, COVID-19 was not an epidemiological event. It was a psychological operation. 2 years later, the bureaucrats and politicians wind down the COVID restrictions in order to quell growing unrest. We can be assured they will insist on retaining the right, quote-unquote right, to reimpose them at will. As long as new variants lurk around the corner, public health bureaucrats and pandemic profiteers can invent the next health emergency to impose more shutdowns for any viral event that conveniently suits their political and financial aims. Pause. Why did no one say anything about this? Why did no one say publicly, maybe, well, some people did and they got thrown off of Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and every place else. Wait a minute. This is not a good precedent. Maybe this one is real. Maybe the next one won't be real. But if this one's real, why don't we have some proof that it's real? No, we cannot have time for proof. You got to do everything we say. And if you so much as ask a question, we're going to come after you. This is not a good precedent. Continuing. When the COVID propaganda has vanished, it is imperative we keep the mountain of lies under scrutiny and continue unveiling the massive corruption that defines the, quote, COVID era, unquote. This is the only path toward justice and necessary to defend against future episodes of pandemic hysteria. I agree. Ultimately, there can be no comprehensive debate and complete understanding about the devastating consequences of the so-called COVID crisis policies without a historical and up-to-date analysis of the medical industry's role in pushing socio-economic and political agendas which benefit the ruling elites. It is vital to understand that the public health emergency, that the public health industry is now directly tied to global markets and operates based on the demands of those financial conglomerates. Manufactured pandemics are now mammoth investment opportunities, which increase the wealth of billionaires and further consolidate their power. It is also necessary to recognize that the primary purpose of the medical industry is no longer the art of healing. It is instead a financial instrument meant to benefit investors. This, by the way, interjecting, was said out loud, often quoted by Peter Daszak, the founder and chief, some president or boss of EcoHealth Alliance, which worked with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which money was funneled to the Wuhan Institute of Virology through EcoHealth Alliance. And Daszak, who's the bagman in the middle of all of this, said, the money will follow media hype. Continuing, we the people must also recognize that the medical industry has now been fully weaponized as a punitive system designed to process, dehumanize, and control every single person that finds themselves in that system. Before our very eyes, we have seen up close how mere biological existence is criminalized by that system. The magic act of COVID vanishing from the media view and public perception is not due to any medical miracle or the natural trajectory of a virus losing its potency. It was performed by those who manufactured this reality and committed countless crimes, all done in an attempt to slip out the back door and avoid any further public inquiry and escape any legal consequences. Though the story of the virus is over, the sorcery that created it has not been exorcised. The urgent message we must take from these past 2 years is that we are under sustained psychological warfare and have been for quite some time. We won't have truly won until it is universally established that medical freedom is not a negotiable commodity controlled by state bureaucrats, political opportunists, or the medical cartel. Nothing has been won until the ideology that the state can have control over bodily autonomy has been thoroughly repudiated. This story is not finished until the individuals and institutions that deceived the public, censored and persecuted dissenting voices over the past 2 years, are publicly held accountable. The fight is not over. Every now and then I read something that says it better than I ever could have. Michael, thank you. Now, for anyone who's listened this far, who's saying, why did my friend die? Why did my grandmother die? Why did my husband die? Why did my child die? That is a legitimate, genuine, necessary question. But to be answered, the answer cannot be a lie. That is not an answer. Early on in this crisis, one of the first people that I reached out to was a man named John B. Cumming, a retired actuarial from the Equitable Life Assurance Society and now an actuarial consultant in his 80s. Their job is counting deaths and estimating death probabilities. And he said, do not trust death certificates. Death certificates in the COVID era, you can just check off the box and it's COVID, and it ain't that simple. Also, early on in this crisis, we heard from a young woman who I'm sure I can track down. We probably posted this 5 times, who worked in the LA County Death Recording Office. Major American city. People die from every reason in Los Angeles. And she said there are cases where the attending physician, the family physician, and the coroner go back and forth for weeks attempting to fill out parts 1 and part 2 of the certificate of death. There is no actual recordable cause of death without a thorough investigation of the patient's chart. And should there be something perhaps out of sorts, it requires a post-mortem exam with tox. People think the cause of death is not simple. Is simple. Death itself is not a simple thing. But nothing can legitimately be ascribed to a cause by ticking a box. And all that ticking the box required was either a positive COVID test, which is not a test for anything, or some other speculation that it might be. Come on. You wouldn't put up with this on a true crime show. If you were reading it in a novel, you would say, this is a shitty book. I'm not reading it. This author knows nothing. but suddenly it's okay. Just check the box, and that's the cause of death. How long is the New York Times going to be reporting that 2,000 people a day are dying of COVID? And if that's true, why don't I know a single one? Huh? I mean, I know a lot of people. I try to stay in touch with everyone I ever knew. If I think of somebody I knew in the fourth grade, I'll try to find them. And I live about 90 miles from New York City. I know a lot of people in the city, grew up with a lot of people in the city, and I live in a commuting suburb. How is it possible that 2 years into this, I don't know one person? What is it, my Course in Miracles mojo? If you know me, you won't die of COVID? That'd be nice. There's something else going on. And now we are going to be very inclined to leave this behind. There are a lot of days I wake up and say, I don't want to cover COVID anymore. I'm fucking sick of it. Yesterday marked the 2-year anniversary of my daily coverage, 2 years of COVID-19 news. I have organized a succession of editorial teams who have covered this blog 5 to 10 times a day for 2 years. What we post on that blog is a fraction of what we read. We are connected through numerous groups of people who know much more about this stuff than we ever did. We're reading stuff nonstop. For 2 years, I am so sick of this. But I am not submitting to the temptation to pretend that in some way it has gone away. Because it has not gone away until every one of those people who died is fully investigated as to the cause of death. That is justice. That is science. We must not sell ourselves short of knowing the full truth. And maybe it takes courage, maybe it takes integrity. I know all kinds of spineless people. My job as an investigative reporter, and for that matter as an astrologer, is to hold people to the truth. Not many people would want to be in that position because it means that I get held to the truth. But I'm the one who does it the best. And people who tend to lie, who tell a lot of white lies, who tell small lies, as Hitler put it in Mein Kampf, first of all, don't want to be calling out anybody for lying. Because if you know that you're fudging everything and covering things up and telling white lies and concealing your personal truth from the people you say that you're intimate with has not put you in a good position to demand the truth from anyone. But hypocrisy is a drug. And anyone who claims to be upset or have been upset about what is being called COVID darn well better insist that we find out the truth. Because if we bury this, if we just move on, if we just say, oops, masks really didn't work after all. Oh, well, now I'm reading that it's worse. We heard last week that I believe it was Pfizer's trials came in with more deaths in the injected group than in the uninjected group. That's an automatic fail in this pass-fail system. Nope, gonna go ahead with it. And what Michael doesn't fully develop is, what about these 23,000 admitted deaths by the CDC? Well over double the reported deaths of the previous 30 years in 1 year. This is worse than Holocaust denial. It is Holocaust denial. To pretend that this didn't happen? And what about that multiplier factor? The sheer insanity of this has forced me and many of the people I know to be in a struggle for our daily sanity. And I could see why it's easier just to, well, kind of pretend things are some other way than is blatantly coming out by every possible source other than the official state sources, which people say, well, if the New York Times doesn't say it, I don't believe it. Well, how about this? The New York Times reported a month after Planet Waves reported that the so-called COVID test, the polymerase chain reaction, the real-time, quantitative, reverse transcriptase polymerase chain reaction to test for an RNA sample was blowing 90% false positives. 90% false positives. Now, I've talked about this before. So you've got 90% false positives, and you've got 94% with 4 to 5 additional quote-unquote comorbidities, meaning terminal illnesses. Huh? What's left? This has been a statistical game, number one. And number two, there were people murdered by hospital policy. I know this, and you know this. Policy one, remdesivir as the only remunerated treatment with a bonus paid. Number two, ventilators. We know hospitals were putting people on ventilators to prevent them from exhaling into the ambient air. 90% died. Somewhere between a third and half on remdesivir died. We cannot walk away from this crime scene. I am very grateful these truck drivers have stood in the way of this travesty. The Ukrainian people are paying the price for this. There is no way to separate the attack on Ukraine from World War COVID. I'm calling this all World War C. The thing that has now occupied all of the bandwidth that was previously being sucked up by COVID and COVID debates and alternative viewpoints has now been, in the space of a few days, completely obliterated by 1,000 theories about what's going on in the Ukraine and constant nonstop news of that horror. And our girl there is, so far as I know, now safe in Poland. A Planet Wave subscriber came forward and opened up her entire contact network in Poland for Katarina. There will be hundreds of thousands of refugees. Klaus Schwab bragged about having Putin as one of his graduates of this global leader school. Says it right. Let's see if I can find this. I believe I closed that window. Comes right out and says it in one of the first crops. This thing goes back to the 90s. And the list of people is impressive. Many world leaders and cabinet members. We heard him say, the program opened last night. Go back and play the first 30 seconds. Klaus Schwab comes right out and admits that he has penetrated half of the Canadian cabinet of Justin Trudeau. This will not be over till we realize we live through a revolution and we're not sure if the revolution worked or if it failed. I can tell you that as far as I know, and I have understood these various plans that have been shaping up for various great resets and planned pandemics, that it is a very good thing that the vaccine passport has been derailed. That is a victory of epic proportions, because I agree with Planet Wave's guest Tom DiFerdinando, whose interview you can find right on the front page of planetwaves.fm, that the entire purpose of this was to impose the vaccine passport, to turn everyone into a person constantly flashing their QR code day and night. that the claim of a virus which was never proved and community spread which was never shown ever shown. If there were a virus and community spread, Ulster County cemeteries would be overflowing. Nothing happened here outside of the normal. And then that was supposed to lead to the universal acceptance of the Green Pass or the Empire Pass or the COVID Pass. And now, one by one, countries are dropping this plan. Americans, and indeed many people, have a way of falling for things over and over again. As Churchill said, Americans always do the right thing after trying everything else first. So in a similar fashion, you can just drag Americans into a war over and over again. You suddenly call somebody Hitler, and then you've got another war going, and the entire national attention is focused on it. We've got a little problem, or the state media have a problem with their ratings were going down. You've got Joe Rogan getting far more traffic and being paid, what, 3 or 6 times? I don't know how long this $200 million contract was supposed to last for. Rachel Maddow only gets $30 million a year, only. Their ratings, except for Rogan, were all tanking. Rogan was the biggest warning to all of these people, somebody willing to question the narrative. I agree, not questioned it all the way, but boy, he asked some good questions. And he had some top-level guests on. And now, all of a sudden, there's a war. Way to sell newspapers. Way to keep everyone's attention distracted. Way to get people to stop thinking about this whole travesty. 2 years? 2 weeks is a long time in the American media market. To keep anything going for 3 days is a long time in the American media market. 2 years? Almost to the day? This is an eternity. We want to move on from this, but we cannot move on from this until we reckon with what happened, until we hold the people who did it accountable, until we apologize to the people that we have hurt. I feel remorse for ever having taken seriously that there was a virus. I never spread fear. As you know, the first thing I did was call homeopaths, doctors, herbalists, a midwife, and find out how to treat this problem. I wasn't afraid. I'm homeopathically trained. I knew that homeopaths could cure the Spanish flu, allegedly the deadliest, most virulent thing since the bubonic plague. And homeopaths could cure it with a remedy you can buy in Whole Foods called gelsemium. This is medical history. So I will say that while I feel regret for not having called this out from the very beginning, I applied the precautionary principle, as my editorial policy calls for. Assume the worst, and then check the data, and then review your position. That is what I did. And I still feel bad for not having seen it right out of the gate. But there are people who have been pushing young people to get injected with a deadly poison, who have put their children in masks for 2 years. Toxic, disgusting masks with a chemical brew with hundreds of chemical peaks coming out of masks. We discussed this last week. If you want to hear, one of the most disgusting things you'll ever hear is the chemical brew in these masks that people are sucking into their lungs for 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day. There are a lot of apologies to go around. In one of my articles this week, I said there would come a time when people are pleading with young people for forgiveness for what they did to them. And maybe something else will intervene, which is people claiming they never believed it from the beginning. Oh yeah, they could see through it. They were just going along because it was the thing to do. I am angry about this. I am angry at people calling me a liar. I am angry at people who have shouted down every person who tried to speak reason into this. I have watched this happen for 2 years. I watched people bravely, one by one, step up to the microphone and say, have you considered this? People with doctorates, medical doctors, research scientists, and were one by one showered with rocks, insults, and rotten tomatoes. We must grow up. And those of you who are understanding the situation, it is time to hold the people around you accountable and not believe their denial and not walk on eggshells around them. And fuck them if they unsubscribe, and fuck them if they don't invite you to dinner or never talk to you again. It is their loss. That is their karma. That is their integrity. But your karma and your integrity is to be honest in all that you do and all that you say, and to neither lie nor believe a lie nor be the subject of a lie. That is the freedom that brings sanity. Let's take a song break. This is Fish.
I'm floating in the blimp a lot. I feel the feeling I forgot. I'm swimming weightless in the womb. We're bouncing gently round the room. In a minute I'll be free, and you'll be splashing in the sea. I see the path ahead of me. In a minute I'll be free, and you'll be splashing in the sea. We'll hear a tiny cry as the ship goes slow.